Lightspeed.
Hi all, and welcome to a Lightspeed Short Shot. This is Stefan Rudnicki. As you probably know, I've been producing the Lightspeed podcasts for about 15 years, as well as voicing a fair portion. This month, sharing the spotlight with our brilliant featured narrators, Susan Hanfield and Roxanne Hernandez. From the start, it's been an honor, often a joy, and always an adventure. It's also been an education, the range of characters and narrative styles quite simply spectacular, and always pushing the perceived boundaries of the storytelling craft. I find short fiction especially rewarding because I can test those boundaries in ways impossible to sustain in full-length audiobooks. You'll be hearing my reading of The Pearl Captain by Christopher Rowe right after this message.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
And now I'm back with The Pearl Captain. The Pearl Captain by Christopher Rowe. Josiah Dream was the Pearl Captain at the heart of the bivalve ship Blue Spring, which had swum the Black for 1,000 years. It was a mystery to Josiah. It was a mystery to anyone who'd ever thought about it. Why the bivalves suffered their captain's proddings to go one direction or another, to accelerate, to turn, to open the hatches drilled in their kilometer-thick aragonite shells. Josiah did not like mysteries. This did not mean that he wanted to solve this one, or to solve any other. His expression of dislike of mysteries was to ignore them, to not ask questions, to be as incurious as it is possible for a go-man to be. Go-men can be very incurious. It is a trade secret of their guild that there are more dampeners than heighteners in the living clays packed over their transparent skulls. On the day Josiah Dream became the Pearl Captain of the Blue Spring, a delegation of Martian Eremites accompanied him into the flesh, swinging censers, shouting shouts, chanting chants, and dancing dances. The bivalve, which dwarfed Deimos, yawned a third of the way open. This only happened when a new Pearl Captain was installed. It would close again once the Eremites had removed the oblong conchylian shape of Josiah's predecessor. Josiah was 241 years old, of middling age for a go-man, but very young for a Pearl Captain. He was only the fourth captain of the Blue Spring, and was expected to last longer than any who had gone before him. 21 years into his captaincy, a droplet made up of 9 liters of pure water fell from the fleshy ceiling of Josiah's bridge cabin. He had been watching it form for several days. The sound of it splashing to the floor was muffled by absorbers built into the arrays that crowded the room, but Josiah was thoroughly soaked. The water coalesced into worms with the consistency of mercury, which wriggled into Josiah's nostrils and ear canals. Blue Spring wanted to talk.
"You are still alive?"
The question was freighted with all the age and weight of the ship. It pressed through the clays on Josiah's scalp.
"I live, Blue Spring."
Josiah had been trained in imaging his voice, though he had only ever done so in simulations. This was to be expected, because the only creatures who could sense a go-man's imagings were the bivalve ships,
who did not condescend to participate in the training regimes. For a long moment, there was no response, and Josiah wondered if his training had been faulty. It did not occur to him to seek insight himself for a deficiency. But then,
"You are different. You move."
"I am Josiah Dream. We have never communicated directly before."
"You are the captain."
"Yes, Blue Spring. I am the fourth captain you have permitted since you reached your full growth." The response was in the form of a deep vibration through all the flesh of the ship. The arrays channeled some of their stored power into protecting themselves from damage, and more of it into protecting Josiah. The mercury water worms flowed out of his ears and nose, returning to their natural consistency, and dripped down Josiah's chin and onto the smock that made up his uniform. All of this would have to be reported, which was tiresome. "Time a pulse," Josiah said to the nearest array. The Go-men were headquartered in the shell beds on Earth's moon. Most of those who were stationed there spent their time tending to the growth of new bivalve ships, which took hundreds of years. A few others made up the Dictate, the formal leadership of the Go-men. It was to these that Josiah directed his pulse. The Go-man who answered was the erudite admiral, Alyssa Sensation. Her lines did not betray the fact that she had been present at the launch of Blue Spring. She was one of the oldest humans alive.
"Josiah Dream, why do you disturb the Dictate?"
Josiah pulsed a record of what had occurred when the 9 liters of water had splashed to the floor of his bridge cabin. Alyssa Sensation's eyes briefly flashed silver as she collected, comprehended, contemplated. She did this faster than any array that had ever been grown.
"Blue Spring was inordinately fond of Silas Enervate."
Silas had been the captain before Josiah. The Eremites had installed his inanimate body within Deimos, where he was communing with all the other Go-men who had captained bivalve ships for so long that they became calcinated.
"I was informed of this when I took the captaincy," said Josiah.
"But I was also told that Blue Spring had a history of ready acceptance of new Pearl captains."
"After a time, Captain, after a time. You have been ensconced for scarcely 2 decades. Blue Spring is an old ship, set in its ways."
"So long as there is no danger to the cargo or the crew," said Josiah truculently. Josiah was the only crew. The erudite admiral's eyes flashed gold, and Josiah guessed that she had entered a note to be wary of cowardice into his clays. He gave a formal nod just before the arrays at the shell bed cut the connection. 2 years later, halfway to the observatory staffed by the elderly and alone in the Oort cloud, Josiah saw that another droplet was forming in the flesh above his station. Blue Spring had not spoken to him since the first droplet, though it had served ably and had taken on the supplies the observatory had ordered at Europa with alacrity rare in a bivalve ship of such ancient lineage. This time, the droplet dropped when it only displaced 4 liters. Josiah expected and accepted the alien sensations of the mercury water worms burrowing into his brain.
"I have come to admire you, Josiah Dream," said Blue Spring.
"I am glad," said Josiah. "We work well together, and will be in one another's company for a long time."
"I do not believe that is true," said Blue Spring.
This disturbed Josiah.
"Why is that?" he asked.
"Because I am dying," said Blue Spring.
The arrays assessed for 22 months. They squabbled endlessly, coalitions and caucuses merging and splitting as they attempted to come to a consensus about Blue Spring's condition. Finally, they micro-pulsed Josiah. It is a cancer. There is no record of any bivalve ship so afflicted, said Josiah. There is no record of any Pearl captain calcinating in such a short time as you. The dampeners in Josiah's clays were designed to keep him from shock. He felt a layer peeling away, and remembered the notation of potential cowardice. It is far too early in my service for this to occur, he said. We advise pulsing the dictate. But Josiah did not. By the time Blue Spring reached the observatory, Josiah could not stand, and the great ship's reverse acceleration was faltering. Only a mighty collaboration among Blue Spring, the Arrays, and Josiah himself made it possible for the elderly and alone to extend the observatory's cargo net close enough to the ship for offloading. Blue Spring had not communicated with Josiah since its announcement of its impending death. Josiah did not know whether the ship was aware of his quickening calcination. He still had not informed the dictate of either circumstance. The Arrays of the elderly and alone communicated with those aboard Blue Spring. They had observed an unrecorded eruption of aragonite the size of a mountain on the ship's posterior hull, straddling the hinge. They advanced the notion that Blue Spring would not be able to open unless the growth was removed. How do they expect us to do that? Demanded Josiah. They propose a comet. Josiah thought about that for 9 days before he attempted to image Blue Spring. This time the droplet took mere hours to form, and when it splashed, it was viscous. There was an unpleasant odor to the mercury water worms. The elderly and alone proposed that we maneuver into the paths of a comet and allow it to impact with your posterior hull, said Josiah.
I have been contemplating this since their arrays pulsed ours, said Blue Spring.
Have your contemplations led to conclusions? Asked Josiah.
Yes, said Blue Spring.
The go-man who answered Josiah's pulse was not the erudite Admiral Alyssa Sensation. This was how he came to learn she had chosen, at long last, to self-calcinate. The Blue Spring has made us aware of your circumstances, said the dictate go-man. We see no other potential solution besides the comet.
There is another solution, said Josiah Dream.
There is another solution, said the Arrays.
There is another solution, said Blue Spring.
What do you propose? Asked the go-man on the moon.
We propose to go beyond the galactic rim and accept our fate.
That is not acceptable. It is acceptable to us, said Blue Spring.
And so they swam. Josiah Dream, who did not like mysteries, and Blue Dream, an old ship set in its ways. Far, far, far they swam, encountering many mysteries and many challenges to old ways. And first down the centuries and then down the millennia, they came to revel in new ways. They came to exalt in mystery.
You have just heard The Pearl Captain by Christopher Rowe, narrated by Stefan Rudnicki.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.
This story was taken from the pages of Lightspeed Magazine, which is edited by John Joseph Adams. The podcast is produced by Skyboat Media, and the story and podcast are copyright 2024. I am Stefan Rudnicki. Thank you for listening.